When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And actually, Brienne is a woman. She looks like that. There's nothing wrong with that. And she is attractive. And what's attractive about her is how she is, the choices that she makes. And Brienne's beauty comes from the choices that she makes in life. And for me, that's really positive. And that's really empowering.
Everybody, welcome to our podcast. I'm Jason. It's just me this time. I'm gonna change it up on you guys already in the third episode here. It's an interview of sorts with Gwendolyn Christie, aka Brienne of Tarth. Last year, Aaron from the Bald Move Game of Thrones podcast and other Bald Move shows, and I had this great opportunity to moderate a panel with Gwendolyn Christie at Walker Stalker Con Chicago. This was just before season 4 started, so I thought this was a good time to drop it in right after we just covered season 3. So if you have seen everything up until season 3, you're good as far as spoilers are concerned. But this panel was awesome. She was on fire. Super passionate, fun, and you know, she gave some good insights about how what it's like to play Brienne, how that bathtub scene was with Jaime, what it was like to fight that bear, you know, and just it's some good insights into Brienne as a character and how much she stands behind what Brienne stands for as a character, which is really awesome to hear. So yeah, I think you're really going to like this. I listened to it again to say, oh, is this going to be okay for the podcast? And I listened to it and I was like, yeah, this is totally great. I remembered it being a good panel. And so anyway, hope you guys enjoy it as much as I did. Here it is.
I thought we'd open with a really important question. It's about your family. How many sapphire does your father possess?
It's the Sapphire Isle.
Oh, I see the confusion there. You know, the role of Brienne is really interesting because there's a lot of very strong acting involved. There's also a lot of physical presence. And I was wondering, at what point during like the casting or the pre-production or the actual filming process did you actually feel like Brienne, or is that even a distinct feeling from you as Gwendolyn?
I was very aware when I started researching what this part was, when I was first told that I'd be that there was even the idea that I might meet for to play the part of this character, that it would require some degree of, at that stage, physical transformation. And I was hungry for that. I really cared about the part, reading it, as we were saying earlier, like I just wanted to know about this character. She fascinated me and I wanted to know what was going on in her mind and also what was going to happen to her. So I did a lot of personal physical transformation. I did a lot of exercise. I did a lot of weight loss and weight gain in terms of muscle training. I don't know. I prefer to sort of... I'm very dedicated to my job, but I think it's important to take the work seriously but not oneself seriously. So I wouldn't... I'd rather not answer about whether I... when I feel like Brienne, because it's a job, it's work. But certainly you do a lot of preparation, and then I suppose once you've got the armor on and then you're swinging the sword around, then you pretty much feel like Brienne.
When you're kicking Jamie's ass.
Then you particularly feel like Brienne.
You know, it seems that you talk about reading the books, and from interviews I've seen with some of the other actors, it seems like that's kind of semi-controversial. Some don't want to know anything because it might affect their performance. Others are kind of indifferent. And then there's guys like Alfie Allen, who plays Theon. It seems like he just devours everything he gets his hands on. You've read the books. How do you feel that informs your performance, or how does it affect your performance?
Well, obviously, it's like a first source. And it's a resource. But ultimately, as it's just part of your job, is you obey what's on the page. And once you do that, then, you know, then you're honoring the material that you're being given. And any work that you do prior to that, for me, it's really helpful because it feels like there's a map. There's a map of who this woman is. And in reading it and getting to know it, then it you know, it dissolves into your mind and then it informs your performance. But I also think it's important not to be slavish in detail to... The television show is something different. So details are very important to me. But if it's not on the page of my script, then if it goes against something that's on the page of my script, then you can't represent it. But it's all there. I like to think that it's all there. It's all in the mind, and somehow it comes out.
The show's so complicated, and the relationships between the people and the plot, and I have a hard time keeping track of it, of what's happening. I have to go back and, I feel like, study up before the new season. I'm wondering if it's hard for you to keep track of all of that.
When I first started reading the books, I thought, gosh, I really am not very intelligent because I'm having real trouble keeping track of all of this. So I sat down I had a notepad beside me and read it and would make connections of who the characters were and, you know, so I could keep track on the way things were going. And when I watched the TV, I read the scripts a lot, and then when I watch a TV show, I tend to watch it. And whether I'm with people or not, if I'm in a scene, I tend to cover my eyes. And then I watch it again, and then I might, like, do this and see part of it. And then I'll watch it again. Slowly the hand comes down. But then the notepad, I'll start just, like, mentally making notes about, oh, that should have done that better, or, oh, next time, remember that. Yeah, the critiquing is amazing. It makes you feel incredible.
If this was a different show than where you played throughout the whole thing, I would imagine you might not even watch it, huh? But now you kind of want to keep track of what's going on in all the other parts.
Oh, no, the thing is, I'm a big fan of the show. I am a huge fan of the show, and I get as excited about it being on, I think, as just about anyone else here. So, yeah, I definitely watch it.
You mentioned that, you know, acting is a job and Game of Thrones is a job, and in particular, it's a very big, expensive, time-sensitive endeavor. Do you, as the actors and actresses, and I know you guys don't get to spend a lot of time together as a full cast because you guys are performing all over Europe, really, to get everything, all the locations. Do you guys still have fun on the set?
Oh, yeah. It's a very fun group of people. It's a very fun group of people with, I'd say, no egos. Everyone really feels incredibly lucky to be in the show, and I think everybody loves seems to really care about the material, really care about their role within it and doing the best job possible. And it's always fun as each year goes by, you know, you realize how lucky you are to be doing all this training and be at essentially medieval summer camp. And I think everyone's just really, yeah, everyone gets on well, and it's super fun.
I want to throw it to the audience for a bit. Let these guys get some questions in over here.
Yes. What was your initial reaction when you found out you would have a fight scene with a live bear?
I really wanted to do it. I was absolutely desperate to do it. I was telling some of you today at the end of, we were getting to the end of shooting season two, and I said to David Benioff, are you please, will you let me fight the bear? Will you let me fight the bear next season? And he just looked at me and sort of chuckled softly and said, just laughing at the idea of asking our producer to find a live bear for you to fight. And then it happened. I was very lucky to get the opportunity to... In the books, when I was reading them, I thought, gosh, this part is really sensational. And then... I couldn't believe how great it was, and I really wanted to play it. And then I got to the bit where she fights a bear, and I thought, gosh, just when I didn't think it could get any better, it just did. So I was really, really happy that came alive on the screen.
No sense at all of be careful what you wish for there, huh? Like, oh, they actually...
I just didn't care, and I kind of thought, well, HBO are going to take care of me, so... I'm still alive.
What was it like? Like, how did you not fear for your life? I want to know.
The bear was amazing because the bear needed to have country and western music playing at all times to keep it calm. That's true. And it needed to be given a round of applause every time it did something right. And also every time it did something wrong. And like, if it did anything, it had to go woo and like a big round of applause. And as a special treat, it had to be given like spray cream from one of those cans in a frying pan. And I was just like, why don't I get this? When can I start getting this kind of treatment?
Woo!
This bear is a total diva.
I don't think you could have caught him that. He might just have turned in
a
second.
Yes, yes. Were you actually, when you were acting with the bear... Was there any like kind of like plexiglass barrier there, or did they do like...
No, there's one bit I didn't do, which is, in a way, I kind of hate highlighting these things because I think it spoils the magic of watching the show. Anyone that doesn't want to hear, put your fingers in your ears now. But there is one bit where Brienne is hit and she like she hits the deck and I wasn't allowed to do that. And I said, let me do it. And they said, no. And I said, let me do it. And they said, no. And I said, I don't care, let me do it. And they said, you're a season regular, you're not doing it. And then I understood. So it's where Bart, the bear's trainer, had to do this bit where Brienne receives the hit and where the claw marks happen. And that day, they did it three times. And on the third time, Smitty, his trainer, said, okay, no more. Because he meant it that time. And Smitty had worked with Bart since all of his life and was, you know, I watched him roll around on the floor with him. But obviously, Bart's an animal. And so if you're trying to make him hit you, it's a training process. But animals, like any of us, can get a little bit testy. He really meant it that time. And I watched it and thought, oh, that looks painful. And Smitty said, okay, no more, that's it. And I thought, God, that looked painful. I really hope they use that one. And they did, because it's real. Yeah, he's being hit hard for real. And poor Smitty had to put on a pink dress and like a blonde wig. And all day I was like, what am I doing? Oh, no, I'm me. That's Smitty.
Yes, my name's Christian. I'm from the Chicago area.
Hi.
First of all, I would like to say you are phenomenal at this role. Like, it is... You're one of my favorite characters, and I'm so glad to see you in person. Like, it's amazing.
Thank you very, very much.
But my question is, back to the training process to start this role, how long was the physical training? Like, how long did that take for you to actually get used to wearing, like, 90-pound armor?
Well, as I said before, before I got the part, I lost... about 22 pounds, and I did physical exercise, which I hadn't done for a long time. And I did bits of kickboxing and aerobics and running and plenty of yoga and started eating really properly. And then when it started, I started working with a strength and conditioning expert and doing weights, a lot of resistance training. And I put all of that weight back on and muscle, probably a bit more. And then they, once I got the part, they very kindly, HBO, I said to them, I wanted to do everything myself. I wanted it to be as real as it possibly could be. And they were very, they very happily facilitated that. So for about 3 months, I'd spend 2, 3, or 4 days a week training all day in Belfast with the brilliant CC Smith, my sword master, who taught me to sword fight, who taught me to fight, and who also got me just like butched me up a bit. You know, I'd be kind of teetering around, and he taught me how to find a kind of strength and power physically. And so that took about 3 months. And then I learned all the fights during that time as well. And then as filming went on, I just kept on training throughout the series. And then they can train me now anything between 2 weeks to learn a fight to 2 months.
All right. Well, thank you. That answered my question.
Thank you.
My name is Rick of House Nichols, and I have 2 questions for you. First one is, if you could pick any object or animal to be your sigil, what would it be? And my second question is, what was the experience for you when you first put on the armor for Brienne?
A sigil for me?
Yes.
House Christie.
House Christie. That's such a hard question. I'm going to think about it while I answer the second part of your question. They've been training me for a long time. They've been training me for 3 months, and I was working very hard. And they were working, you know, they were working to find that inner strength, which isn't about a butchness. It's about a strength and power, a power in one's muscles, a power in one's stride, strength to hold the sword, to fight with it, economically and with power, and that has nothing to do with gender. But the moment I put the armor on, I did, suddenly my entire physicality changed, because obviously it is restrictive. It was amazing because it was the full transformation. I'd had, as I've talked about before, I had my hair cut. I used to have very long hair, and I had my hair cut very short. They took all of my makeup off me. They covered me in dirt and like mud and grease and stuff. And I packed on a lot of muscle. And I noticed the big personal physical transformation that was occurring. And it just completed it. Suddenly, I seemed to have real strength. I also, like, your movements are quite restricted, and because the weight of the armor's heavy. It changes you, the outer physicality changes you internally. I try not to be pretentious about it. That's kind of what I felt. My sigil, I don't know, maybe a huge sword and a high-heeled shoe.
Yes. You know, that is so fitting for you because you don't look like your character. There's such a disparity in how you look on the screen versus how you look in real life. And I wonder if it's fun for you to... I bet you tell people you play that role and they don't even realize it's you sometimes.
It's quite the reverse.
Oh, is it?
I'm quite happy with how... Initially, I did find it tough. And then I thought, why am I finding it tough to look like this? Like, why am I finding it tough to feel as though I'm not conforming to traditional norms of what's attractive? And then I realized, without being heavy about it, it was just a kind of conditioning. It's a kind of social conditioning. And actually, Brienne is a woman. She looks like that. There's nothing wrong with that. And she is attractive. And what's attractive about her is how she is, the choices that she makes. And Brienne's beauty comes from the choices that she makes in life. And for me, that's really positive, and that's really empowering. And I think it's empowering for women as well. It's not about how we're born. It's not about how we're born and how we look on the outside. It's about the thing that we can control, which is the choices that we make, and to be powerful and to be kind. And now I feel I'm happy with how I look in the show, because I'm playing a great part, and a part that I hope is influencing women to be themselves. And that femininity is not about, you know, putting on makeup or anything. It's just about being comfortable with who you are.
I'm glad you touched on that, because something we get asked a lot on our podcast, and I know something that gets discussed online, is there's some people that are of the opinion that Martin's work as a whole is anti-women, anti-female. I kind of suspect I know your feelings about that, in particular on Brienne, but what do you think generally the world of A Song of Ice and Fire and its take on feminism?
I'm afraid you're going to have to explain to me a little more why people think it's anti-women.
Well, in the world of A Song of Ice and Fire, it's very strong patriarchy, and women kind of have predefined roles. I know there's a lot of women that have a problem with the prevalence of the rapes as seen as like punishment. And there's a lot of just awful things happen. Women, awful things happen. This is not a feeling that I share. If anything, I think that a clever person would read Martin's work and see it as a meditation on the toxic effects of absolute patriarchy.
I must at this point underline the fact that I am no expert at these things. I'm just an actor, and I just have an opinion. And as you're asking me for my opinion, obviously the books are a work of fiction. However, it is my feeling that this particular fiction that's brilliantly, in my opinion, been created by George R. R. Martin has some parallels with our lives and with our history. And it is the case that it is fairly representative of the life that we have known so far with regards to a dominant male patriarchy. So with a patriarchy. So I feel it's a fairly accurate representation of our life throughout history. And I don't think it is a judgment saying that is a right one or a wrong one. I appreciate as a piece of fiction and consequently a television program, it's given birth to some incredible female characters. And what I love about it is that, why I think it's such great writing is that you see not just women. I'm not just here to like bang the drum for women. Well, I am, but I'm not just. But it's great parts, it's great characters. It's representing men and women with a 360 degree view. You just as you think you formed an opinion about someone, it becomes more complex and you have to question why you've chosen to think about them in that way. And I think it's really challenging about the way that we view lives and the way we view people and the judgments that we make. The reason why I'm so excited by this work is that I think it's incredibly illuminating about our human condition. But it's also really fun. It's not heavy-handed, it's not hitting anyone over the head, it just kind of shines a light into those parts of our brains that we don't always use.
If we ever get that asked again, I'm just going to play that answer. I said, if we ever get asked that again, I'm just going to play that answer.
I hope not, I'm worried it was really boring.
No.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi, I'm Kelly. If you could work, so far, I have not read the books, I've only seen the show, but if you can work with any of the other characters that you haven't already yet, who would that be?
Oh, it's so boring of me. I'd really love to interact with all of them. Yeah. There's so many good actors. I think Lena Headey's such a brilliant actress. Charles Dance is amazing. Peter Dinklage is a brilliant actor. Jack Gleason is an amazing actor. He's so absolutely that character on the screen and in life. He's such a charming young man. I think those are my main, all of them, but those are my main ones.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Kathy. We've talked a lot about how hard it is, your job, and how much fun it is. But I'd like to know how much fun it is to work with Nikolai and how difficult it was to film that bath scene.
It's super fun to work with Nikolai. He is hilarious. He's absolutely hilarious, and he's also a really, really brilliant actor. And I didn't have masses of screen experience before I started this. I'd done theater, but I hadn't had a lot of filming experience. And obviously, Nikolai has a whole wealth of experience and incredible talent. So to work with someone that was so much better, you know, it was really great to, it was really illuminating and it stretched me a lot. The bathtub scene, do you know what? It was fun because it's so brilliantly written. And anything embarrassing or uncomfortable or any feelings of vulnerability or being inhibited or just like wishing you had some bloody clothes on was alleviated by the fact that scene in the books, I adored it. It's such an incredible moment because not only do you see the massive change in him and you realize, oh Lord, I wasn't expecting that. He's become an entirely different person. But also I think it was my feeling and what I wanted to bring to it was that Brienne embraces who she is. She's a woman that's used to being in armor, and then in that moment she is naked, she's in water with a man, and a man that she's not, she's had this very complicated relationship with, she feels very vulnerable. But in the scene and television, she stands up. And in that moment, I see her brace. In my mind, she was embracing her femininity. And again, embracing who she is. And saying, I'm not scared of my body. And I will stand up to you and I will face you because of the strength of character I have inside me. And I will tell you to stop. And I don't need to wear anything. I don't need to wear armor. I don't need to do anything. I embrace who I am. So yeah, it was pretty complex.
It was amazing.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, that really came across, by the way.
Oh God, I'm so pleased.
Hi, my name is Jim from the Chicago area. So we've got two more books and at least four or five more seasons of the show. By the end, who do you think should sit in the Iron Throne?
I think Hodor should sit on the Iron Throne. I do. I do. Because you know what? He's not going to do any better or worse job than anyone else. Because what do we learn? That power corrupts. So he's a sweet guy. It might work out.
Good answer.
You know, Brienne, it's interesting because she's arguably the most ideal representation of a knight in Westeros. A lot of those anointed knights don't live up to their responsibilities as far as, you know, chivalry and honor and duty. Many of them don't even bother with it. And even those that do take it seriously, like, you know, Barristan the Bold, have had to compromise from time to time. Why do you think Brienne takes this concept of being a true knight so seriously, despite all the contra evidence that she's seen in her time?
Because I think Brienne is idealistic. I think that, in my opinion, at the core of her, she's adhering to a very high moral code. And she is dedicating her life to doing her best to carry out the greater good. For the good of all. And I don't think it's at the forefront of her mind, but objectively, I think that she wants to kind of transcend the basic shortcomings of that we have as human beings. As human beings, you have so many sensory desires, you know. I want to lie in bed all day and just eat chocolates, but my other sense knows I need to go to the gymnasium and I need to read some mind-improving books. So, you know, every day as human beings, we have a battle, and I think that she just wants to be a better person.
So, maybe Brienne should have the throne.
That what, starts her corruption.
What do you think?
What do you guys think?
Do you know what? She wouldn't want the throne. She wouldn't want it. She wouldn't want it because I don't think she's very good at exerting power over another human being for power's sake. I don't know. It's such an interesting, it's such an interesting examination of human nature and power struggles and hierarchies and how can one ever be the divine ruler? Maybe by not existing.
Well, it's like some of the, you know, a lot of people said if only Ned could have been king. But Ned probably would have made a terrible king. He's almost too...
Well, he'd had his head cut off, so it might not have worked.
There you go. There you go.
With the crown.
The stump. The stump would hold it. We've talked about Brienne and Jaime's, you know, complex relationship. How would you describe their relationship and chemistry?
I think the two people that are really at opposite... are seemingly opposite ends of the spectrum. He's a man... Well, when I met George R. R. Martin for the very first time last year, and I was so excited, and I was so thrilled. Having studied these books and studied this part and thought about this character for so long, I was so thrilled to ask him about it, and I felt very nervous about asking about it too. But he said when he wrote it, he was interested in creating a Beauty and the Beast scenario, but with the roles reversed, where there was, for a change, a man who was the beauty, who has everything, who's very privileged, who's used to getting his own way, who is brilliant, who has everything handed to him, and a woman who is viewed as a beast and who has to fight and who has to fight to be considered. And I feel that that is the most accurate representation of the relationship. I love watching that relationship. I love things that are outside of convention, and I feel incredibly lucky to be playing this phenomenal part that's really unconventional. But what I love about the relationship of Jaime and Brienne is the fact that it's a relationship that is formed and continues out of a begrudging respect. It's not out of what we normally see about it being about sexual attraction or love or a kind of, you know, materialistic desirability. This is about respect, and it's something that absolutely cannot be replicated, and it cannot be faked. It's born out of experience.
It was so much fun to watch Jaime being an ass and Brienne having to deal with it for so long and just thinking, yeah, this is a great dynamic, but then to have it shift into something else and be so believable was like magical and unique, you know? I don't have a question.
Yeah. I know. I love that too. I really love that too. And when we started, Nikolai would laugh and go, it's so funny, you know, it's so funny. And I'd say, it's not funny. And he'd say, it's so funny. And then as it goes on, he'd be like, I don't know, he'd make some kind of comment. And one day I just looked at him and said, your character is obsessed with my character.
Do you think he needed to lose his hand in order for that relationship to change?
Yes. Sometimes I think we do need to have... Sometimes some humans unfortunately respond best to... Sometimes it takes something as awful as personal tragedy to make someone shift, to make their character shift.
It's interesting. I read something recently about... You know, because Jaime, as much as I've grown to like his character, he started off shoving a kid out of a window and paralyzing him. And there's an interesting parallel between him taking Bran's legs away, which, you know, Bran was very interested in being a knight, and Jaime losing his hand. That's kind of almost an atonement, because that was the most important thing and his key to being a knight. I thought that was kind of interesting, that there was a check and balance in Martin's justice.
Karma sucks, right?
Yeah, it does. What do you, without talking about spoilers, most of the season so far in Game of Thrones have been a steady rise up until the end of the season and a big climax. That's been the case season one, season two, season three. What are we as fans in for as far as the fourth season coming out?
Essentially, I can't tell you anything. But what I will tell you is that, precisely as you say, so far structurally in the television show, the first three seasons we've had a slow build climax. And that's what we've had so far. What I will tell you is that season four structurally is very, very different in that out of nowhere. There's just explosion after explosion after shock. And it's a real assault on the senses. I'm so excited about seeing it. I've only read it and obviously, you know, done my bits. But I think it's, for just in the scripts, it's just, this is where it really starts to go off. You know, it starts to just explode.
Another question I had, we talked about, you know, how much time it takes to practice some of these fights. And one scene in particular that was a very nonverbal, just a purely physical performance was Jamie and Brienne's kind of duel on the bridge with Jamie and Chains. And I thought that was really remarkable how there was a clear narrative. And, you know, without words, the where Jamie went from the beginning, very confident, cocky, finally I've got a sword, to where he started realizing, uh-oh, this I might not be able to win this fight until it goes to the end. What does that look like in script form? How long did it take you guys to rehearse it, and how much time did it take to get that to film?
Nikolai has always been naturally brilliant at sword fighting, and he's done a lot of it in the past. I learned for the first time for season two. It took me 2 weeks working pretty much every day to learn it, and it took him about 2 days over Skype. No, 2 hours. 2 hours over Skype. Wow. Like, he just picked it up. He really picked it up. Brienne is a brilliant swords person. So I wanted it to be as good as it possibly can be. So it's not just a question of learning it and executing it. It's about executing it at such like a good level, and that takes time. For me, it takes time. So it took me 2 weeks doing it, and I would obviously train at the gym as well. And then it took us to film that. It was two whole days, two and a bit.
Wow.
2.5 days, I think. On the bridge, yeah.
What's your favorite thing about the whole experience, about doing the show?
It's got to be the bear. That was the bear. Working with the bear.
Oh, right.
Have you not watched this show?
I didn't hear it. You said bear. I didn't hear you.
This guy hasn't even watched the show. You've done so well until this point. I totally believed you had.
Pretty good, huh? I told you I read the wiki. Okay, let's have one question and then we'll wrap it up. Go ahead, sir.
So if you could fight anyone in the show who have not fought, who would you want to fight? And who would Brienne want to fight?
I think the moment in the show when Roose Bolton murders Catelyn Stark, that me and I think Brienne would like to fight Roose Bolton and to kill him. I think that she only fights and kills when she has to. She doesn't want to do it. She doesn't want to fight. She doesn't want to exert pain on another human being for that sake. She does it because she has to. So I think she would have to. With Roose Bolton, definitely. Otherwise, who would you want to see Brienne fight? Joffrey. Easy. Easy. Who else? Oh, that would be amazing. And Rory McCann's taller than me as well. That might be a bit tough.
Hulk Hogan. All right, well, that's all we have time for, so thank you so much. That was
amazing. Yes,
thank you.
You
so much, all of you. Thank you. And it's been great meeting so many of you. Thanks so much.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.